Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you this evening?
Hello, Cindy. I'm well, and you?
Good. And did you have a nice time last week at the party for your beautiful wife?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been so hectic, though. Because last week, obviously, we didn't have the show because my wife had the wrap party. So it was really, really cool because, we were just kind of like, you know, rubbing elbows with, you know, the stars of the show and the producers and the people behind the show and the writers. And it was at a really, really cool place in Brooklyn that had large garbage can, you know, like beer pong and cornhole and just games and everything else. And it was really, really cool. And one of my favorite movies when I was growing up was the movie Clueless, and Jeremy Sisto was on the show, and me and Jeremy Sisto wound up dancing for like an hour, you know, doing old 90s rap lyrics back and forth to one another. So it was really, really cool.
And it's so
and
funny.
And he was such a cool guy.
Oh, he is, and it's a coincidence because I was just listening to on Audible, Arms and Man, a play from George Bernard Shaw written in 1894. And Jeremy Sisko was one of the actors doing it. And
Great.
Isn't that funny? And the ironic part about it is in Arms and Man, they're talking about a higher love. Well, we think we found a higher love. Well, it's a lot of work, this higher love, in 1894. So
yeah.
I got
a
kick out of it. So the connection between Jeremy and the higher love and you and me last week just listening to that while you meet him, that's too coincidental.
Yeah. It was hysterical. I mean, and he was
so
great.
And what show
is
this for? What show is she working on?
She works on the show FBI, and it's on Channel 2, I believe, on Tuesday nights. And Missy Peregrine is in it, and she was in Rookie Blue, a TV show from a few years ago. She's been in a couple of movies. Jeremy Sisto, obviously, you know, from the Clueless days, as well as, you know, I think that he did SVU and Homicide after that. And, it was just a really, really cool experience.
Wow. So that was exciting. So I'm so glad you had a good time and, you know, you deserve it. But it is kind of a small world, for sure.
Oh, definitely.
The synchronicities or whatever. But I really got a kick out of them talking about a higher love. Back then in 1894.
That's great.
You know, I was like, what? Let me, and it's too much work. And the guy's saying he wants a higher love. And the next second he's hitting on the maid, you know? So,
yeah,
I guess times haven't changed that much.
You know what? Something else happened too, Cindy, which I felt was like kind of hysterical, you know, because, you know, we had, you know, the show, the party in lieu of the show last week. And then we had Easter Sunday, and my wife left for Prague on Monday, you know, Monday morning. So it was just, you know, it was funny because, you know, I dropped her at the airport, and I went into work afterwards, and everyone's like, woohoo, you know, wife's gone, you're free for a week, and going like, and I'm like, this is why you people are single. Just because your significant other goes away does not mean that you're free. You are
and
still obligated
single.
To that person.
And that you're single.
It does not mean that you are single if they are in another state, if they are visiting you. No. This is why you're single. I am not married because she's in Prague. I'm still married.
Well, that is funny. I mean, thank you. That is very funny. And, of course, you know, you let them know why they don't have a higher love, you know.
Yes.
Keep that up.
And I turn around, I'm like, I am sad about this. You know, I'm like, I love my wife. I love coming home to my wife. I have a good time with my wife. You know, I mean, like, I don't want to not come home to her or wake up to her. Like, no. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not so codependent or whatever where she's got to be near me 24/7, but it's nice. You know? It's nice.
Well, I certainly get a kick out of that little story and, you know, that people say. And I'm glad that, you know, wherever you go, you start, you know, kind of sharing what you know and what you've learned. But
yes, absolutely. It's just a second, you're free. No, I'm not free. I'm married. I'm still married. I'm still in a committed relationship.
Isn't that funny? People just amaze me. They just amaze me with how they really feel that way.
Yeah, like, what the hell's wrong with you people?
Wow. What is the matter with them? You know, for sure. But interesting. Well, she certainly is having an exciting life, your wife, so that's always good to hear.
And she's having a great time. And, you know, they're really, really loving the music over there because there's actually a market for her kind of music there. So, you know, she's been, a little rock star this week, and she's having a great time. So, and there, people are responding well. This is probably not going to be the first time. You know, this is obviously the first time, but it's probably not going to be the last time that it happens. And hopefully if the stars align, I'll be able to go with next time.
Wow. Well, we're going to make sure that happens, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to put that out to the world that that has to happen. Everybody missed us last week. You'd be surprised. People like, are you guys okay? And again, my homepage on my website is now missing the Blog Talk Radio because it just disappeared off of it.
Point.
So people thought, what happened? There's no radio show. We can't find it on the website. We can't, you know. And I'm like, oh, boy. Nope. Nicole just needed that week off. And because I was having trouble with Constant Contact, because my Constant Contact is what tells people the radio show's on every week I send it out to my 5,000 clients. And it got hacked. So I got frozen out of my own account, and I wasn't able to send it out on my usual Wednesday night. So I hadn't even sent out that yet, and I couldn't even get into Constant Contact until, like, the last minute. So I just then ended up saying, look, the show's not on. Like, it was like, but, it was like, no. But could you believe it?
It's just like one of those. Yeah.
And they're unrelenting, these hackers, because I had to change my to a different email address and everything on it. And they're still sending me the old email address saying, oh, it's closed. Would you like us to open it? You know, those are the people that got it closed because they hacked it.
gosh.
It's always fun with electronics, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's always fun. If it isn't one thing, it's another. So, you know, it always keeps us on our toes.
Absolutely.
So what you're going to do is now, we have a lot of listeners, and we do have a regular client, and she had emailed me, and we also have Andrew. So we're going to first go to the 0194, and then we'll go to the 6950, which is Andrew, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you'll pick up that, and we'll see what's going on with these people who let us know they need to be on the air today.
All right. 0194, here we go. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, ladies.
Hello, who is this?
It's Eleanor.
I know who you are, but they needed to know. Eleanor, so you call in regularly, and it's usually about your relationships or about your kids. So are we on the same path today with something we need to know about our relationship?
Well, yeah, it's I'm approaching a big milestone. This upcoming week, it's going to be my 50th birthday, and usually I feel melancholy, and this is a really bad year for me, having a bad time. I just lost a really close friend, not by death, but she's, I guess, she severed our relationship, and we've been friends for close to 15 years.
Wow.
And, you know, I feel like the wheel is off the wagon.
And was there a reason for this? I mean, like, you know.
I think she joined, like, a multi-level marketing program, and I was trying to warn her that she's being scammed, and she had all her hopes tied into this, and she didn't want to hear what I had to say. So she just cut me off, and I think that she's just unraveling mentally. That's what I think.
No, right, that's what I hear too. And it's funny because let's describe what happens to people. You know, we always talk about the kinds of people that inhabit the earth. 30% are genuinely good, but 20% of those people have the blinders on and they think everybody's good. That's how most of us, you know, a lot of us have been in our life. 30% of people are total unfixable, you know, over the age of 25, if they're still manipulative, judgmental, and not accountable. 4 out of 10 are Dr. Jekyll's Mr. Hyde, and that's what your friend was. And you were able to bring out the good in her for years and years and years. But when people start getting 40 and close to 50 in this culture, they tend to start joining the unfixable side. I mean, obviously, she judged you very harshly for what you had to say. Doesn't want to be accountable for her behaviors, and she's manipulating you by cutting you out because you said something she didn't want to hear. So
right, she called me all kinds of names, and she said, go live your miserable life. I said, this is like out of left field. I mean, she's got a lot of issues, and she's been traumatized and abused, and, you know, she's projecting her issues onto me, and I don't know if she's going to come back or not. And at this point, I don't know if I want her back because she's pretty toxic.
Would say this, that she has joined the unfixable side. And again, I don't care what kind of abuse you experienced in childhood. Okay. It doesn't give you a right to be abusive. And, you know, what's happened to a lot of my clients when they start hitting 40 and 50, they can't believe the people they were friends with. You know, they're not friends anymore. They have all these falling outs. And I'm like, well, they've become who we were afraid they might become. And
it was me because I feel like my, you know, I guess, you know, this is the springtime. It's renewal. And it's a time of cleaning out your closets. And I feel like it's me. Am I changing? Am I evolving? Or these people are truly sick? And they're just falling by the wayside. And I feel really abandoned, alone. I'm not sure what direction my relationship is going with the boyfriend of almost 4 years. So it's really, I'm having a really tough time. I'm feeling very blue and melancholy.
Okay. And 4 onto 5 is always when we got to fix a relationship or leave it. So you're on the 4 onto 5 mark here. You're turning 50, which is, of course, a milestone for anybody. And again, this purging of people and cleansing of them is what starts to happen as we start getting 40 and 50. Because, again, people that were good, or we brought out the best in them, because that's what good people do. We bring out the better side. And, you know, for a while, these people are good. But in this culture, I am telling you, where crime pays, watch every television show, crime pays. You can bullshit your way to the top office in this country because that's the way this country is right now. So people are tending to become more narcissistic or join that side. And it is when you start hitting 50 that a lot of people are going to be purged out of your life. Yes, you have changed. I've known you for years now. You've evolved. You've changed. You know, you left an unhappy marriage, all of that. And every time, whenever you leave one toxic person, then the purging of all the other toxic people begin to occur. Now, you can bless your friend for this because she is going to start getting more needy and more pain in the ass. And she dumped you, and consider it a blessing because it would have been very hard for you to cut her off. And she would have started to be the kind of person you want to cut out. So consider she did you a favor at this point.
You think what's going to happen to her? She's going to probably spiral down, or am I going to hear from her?
Well, you probably will hear from her. You know, she's going to, you know, maybe make a new friend or two who's going to prove to not be who she thinks they are. But, you know, when she returns, you have to make sure you draw some healthy boundaries because that behavior is not acceptable, the way she spoke to you under any circumstances. And I don't want you to ignore that because already you're being the good to a fault person, ready to take somebody back who's being abusive. I mean, people are allowed to be abusive, you know, once and whatever. But keep in mind that this can happen again. So, you know, if you do give her another chance, don't be surprised if she does it again.
Right, because she does it to her boyfriend, too. So, you know, I was just shocked she did it to me. She'd never done that to me before.
Right. Now, again, you said shocked. I'm always saying, you know, why are we shocked when unfixable people or Dr. Jekyll's Mr. Hyde, who are nasty to everybody else and screwing everybody else over, why are we shocked when they do it to us? Would we have an immunity against these people? We don't.
Right.
If they're going to do this to someone, don't ignore it. Anybody who's abusive like that to their mate or someone else, it's only a matter of time before they come back and do it to us.
Right.
And so, you know, just with these people, they know not what they do. And taking it personally is what we tend to do. But you were only trying to protect her. But you, in some ways, with this woman, every relationship goes down to the rescuer, persecutor, victim, dysfunctional triangle. You were trying to warn her of something which was trying to rescue her. She turned around and persecuted you and screamed at you, and you became her victim. So be careful in life with certain people, because they always seem to put us in this persecutor, victim, rescuer triangle.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
So she's with this with everybody. And, again, she's getting close to 52 at this point. Is she's at about 50?
No, she's 50. She's 50. She's my age.
Okay, so
we're
she's
6 50. Months apart. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, some of her, she has probably made a decision that she's not going to try to heal. And that, you know, she's just going to make everybody pay for her misery in her life. And, you know, you really don't need people like that. I know it's hard to let them go. But,
right.
You know, if she comes back in your life, you can give her one chance. But I would go in with my eyes wide open. Because you don't want to end up, you know, hurt by her continually. You don't need that.
You think she will be back?
Nor are you a strong enough person to, you know, put up with this.
Right.
You know,
you see her coming back, or she's going to walk, I think, you know, because she's
You know, she thinks you're going to crawl back to her
mm-hmm.
and apologize to her. It looks like, you know, she won't be back immediately, but she probably will come back. It might take a few months, a year. And, you know, maybe when the situation plays out and she realizes you are correct. But, you know, I don't have much patience for people when I'm the messenger and I'm delivering them the messages. You know, that's what my job is. I'm not a rescuer. I deliver messages. Sometimes people will turn on me. They don't like what I have to say. They will really
right.
turn on me, my clients. And then a year later, they call me telling me I was right and they want a reading. I say, I will never read you again.
Right.
I mean, they made me lose sleep. They got screaming at me, bad-mouthing me, and everything. I don't have patience for that. And I don't care that they apologized. I'm like, there's a way you can handle things. Your friend could have said to you in righteous anger, well, I don't think you're right on this, and I'm going to do what I have to do what I have to do, and thank you for telling me that. But I'm going to do what I feel I need to do. You would have had to sever the relationship over that, would you? I mean,
no.
You would have accepted.
I mean,
I told her I would
support her, you know, no matter what. If she decided to stay or go, I would support her. And she cursed me out, so I couldn't win.
Right. Now, again, that is, you know, people can agree to disagree. But, you know, just our tolerance for abuse has to go down because older souls are great crap takers. They take crap from everybody. They're so tolerant. They don't even know it's crap. But there's a point where, you know, you're 50 yet, you're still young. You get over 60, as I am, you just, there's no patience for that anymore.
Well, okay. I already have no patience.
I mean, and I'm pretty fast at determining they've joined the bad side now. This is what I can expect for the rest of their life. They're not going to change. They've decided, you know, to rant and rave at everybody. And, you know, you're a loss, by the way. You would have been there forever for her.
Oh, I'm very faithful. I'm loyal to all my friends. My circle is really small. It's like, you know, really, really, it's like a triangle maybe, but I'm really loyal. I'm faithful. I run for everybody, you know, that I'm close to.
And you've evolved from a lot of these people, and now you need to expand your friendship circle and get out there and, you know, try to meet some new friends. I know it's hard because you're, you know, a mom and everything, but,
yeah.
You know, go to a lecture that's something that interests you. Sign up for a yoga class or a dance class or Jim, and start seeing if you can't, if you know, the universe will want to bring you some more like-minded people. And
right.
You know, when good people are together, good people don't turn on each other, no matter what. It doesn't happen. They don't stab you in the back. It's not their nature. But Dr. Jekyll's Mr. Hyde, man, they will do it. But again, when people get, what was recently channeled to me is when people get over 40, particularly over 50, if they have the tendency to be both good and bad, they are starting to join the bad side in this culture.
Wow.
And it's sad. It's very sad. And, you know, some of this is we're back on earth because we're the fixers. I think if we love people enough and give them enough chances, we could fix them. We're also not very good at punishing people, which means cutting them out. Sometimes God does us a favor. He gets us laid off from a job where everybody's awful and we hate it. Or he arranges for your person that you think is your love, but they're awful and they're awful too, and you don't want to leave them. Maybe God will arrange for them to have an affair with somebody else and go off with someone else. And we think, oh, my God, how terrible it is. But in reality, these are not good people. So God has a way of removing people that are not good for us.
That's what I've learned.
And know that, close that door. And when you meet a new friend and new people, you're going to see the difference. You're going to see, like, oh, my God, like, this person's really genuinely nice to me all the time and doesn't swing hot and cold to me.
Right.
And friends should not be doing that. So, you know, be careful when relationships turn toxic, because they're highly addictive as well. We get hooked on these people. So it's kind of like, bless her and let her go if she comes back. And, you know, she needs therapy. So without therapy, I don't see how she's going to get better. Is she in therapy?
Well, I know that she can't afford it, but she wants to be, sort of, yeah.
Okay, because, you know, also sometimes people are in therapy, but that never confront them or make them held accountable for their behaviors.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes people go to therapy pretending they're doing something to heal, but they're not. So,
right.
You know, and as far as your guy in your life, you're supposed to be moving in with him. He moved in,
well,
right?
He was supposed to be moved. Well, we were talking about it, but it's just not progressing the way I want it to go. You know, it's hard to live with him, and I we just have such different routines and schedules, and I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, and we're just continuing the, you know, bi-coastal, you know, relationship for now to see, you know, where it goes later, you know, because I guess for the moment we're enjoying each other's company and we're just going to see where it goes. But I kind of thought that by now we'd be living together. I kind of am craving a little bit more of a committed, I mean, we are totally committed to each other, but I don't know, more of a relationship where we're living with one another and sharing space, and it's not moving that way, you know, because we end up fighting when he does stay a week or two.
And remember, we had said that the last time when you called into the show. He's not an easy person to live with. And there's probably a handful of people in the whole world we could live with, maybe 5 to 7 people in this world that we could actually live in peace with. So it's not easy for certain people to live. He's also used to living alone for a long time.
Yeah, and, that's the thing.
And when people live alone for such a long time, it's sometimes just hard for them to know how to share and be in a space with someone in a loving relationship. So I don't see him moving in with you anytime soon. Like, what you have is probably what you're going to have. And,
right,
you know, you're not going to change him. And, again, it's like you're a fixer and you believe that people can change and you can change them. But it doesn't look to, I mean, it looks to me like he's happier with the relationship than you are.
Yeah, he is.
Like it, you know, this is fine for him. You know, he has his other distractions and whatever and things that keep him busy. And, you know, I'm not seeing him being going to be moving in with you anytime soon at all. So
he doesn't want, does he want to or no?
Not particularly. I mean, you got kids and kids are a pain in the ass and, you know, he's used to living alone. When you're used to living alone, kids are a lot. You're used to them. You're used to kids. But he
right.
seems like it's too much for him. And, It's not that he dislikes your kids. That's not it at all. But it's just, it's too much for him. And he never had children of his own.
No.
And people that don't have children of their own have sometimes very strong opinions about those of us with children, what we're doing wrong.
Oh, exactly.
And you know, everybody's a perfect parent until they have children. Okay, children are a lot harder than you think they are. So his ideas of what you should be doing and what you're doing might clash. And, you know, it seems like 4 out of 5, by the 5-year mark, if things don't move forward, it's you who's going to be moved forward. You know, you're going to be making new friends, getting out in the world. It may be you who ends up leaving him. You know, I don't
right.
see him leaving you. He's perfectly happy with the way it is.
Well, why wouldn't he be? I mean, you know, it just, I don't like the way he conducts his business, which, you know privately
right.
what he does. And I don't like it. It's uncomfortable for me. And it doesn't seem like it's going to change in any way. So.
And that's why he doesn't want to really live with you, because, you know, he can talk to people and do what he wants when you're not around.
Right. He hasn't been talking to people anymore that way, you know, but
right.
it's just the way he gets his, you know, clients, you know, that I think is not good. And, you know, I don't know. It just bothers me.
Well,
you
remember,
know, he
you're a very ethical
media.
Person. He's not as, you know, he has some things about him that are not as ethical as you are. Okay.
Right.
Let's put it that way. That's the best way that I'll say it. Sometimes, and again, I wouldn't even strain myself over this at this point, because, you know, 4 out of 5, the universe has a way of guiding us out of something if it can't be fixed. And so
I think if it wasn't my, I don't mean to sound, you know, shallow in any way, but if it weren't my big birthday, you know, the 50 this week, I may have walked, you know, this week from him. I just feel like, okay, if I walk now, I'm really going to be alone.
Right. And okay, that's a valid reason. You don't want to be alone right now, but just the fact that, again, and you're at the 5-0, remember, that's a 5-year cycle, okay? You've been on the planet whole, you know, for 10 5-year cycles. And that's a significant time in your life. So, you know, have him in your birthday. Nobody's saying you have to rush away from this. You know, souls, you know, take a while to adjust to moving away from people. And, you know, our minds know it's time to leave, but we still have lessons we need to learn, and it's maybe not the right timing.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, right now the universe is going to be pretty kind to you, 4 out of 5. At the 5-year mark, you're going to be kicked in the ass one way or the other if this isn't fixed or you're not happy. So, you know, it may be you falling in love with someone else, you just getting fed up and leaving him. But, you know, right now, just kind of have a little bit of patience and see what plays out.
I mean, he was talking about getting engaged. I said, this is ridiculous. No, I don't want to get engaged. Not as long as things are, you know, I mean, is he just talking out of his mouth to, you know, try, you know, I don't know what his thoughts are.
Well, he does want to get engaged to you, but that would mean living with him. And just because you're engaged doesn't, or married, isn't going to make living with him any easier.
Right.
You know that.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm not doing it. I'm not committing.
No. And again, not all relationships are meant to last forever.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I know.
That's the truth of the matter. And so, you know, kind of being a little patient with yourself, seeing what's going on, and again, you have a really high tolerance for taking crap from people, okay?
Oh, I know that.
And again, it's older school. I know I have it too, but the crap, you know, the crap limit gets too high when you get over a certain age, and, you know, you're getting there where it's just, no more. You know, you crave more peace at that point, and peace is, you know, what we've earned the right to have. And, you know, and this man has a lot of issues and needs a lot of fixing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and in some ways you're mommy to a boy with him, and that's going to be a buzzkill eventually with him. And So, I mean, I don't really see it lasting much beyond 5 years here. Okay. And
right.
it's in the ending coming from you. Yeah. So, you know, we always know what we have to do. We just sometimes not ready to do it.
Right. Like my mind knows what to do.
Oh yeah.
And
oh yeah.
I just, you know, but he's also a really good friend. You know, I enjoy him as a friend. So that's where the conflict is. You know, if I sever this, I don't know how to go to
that's why
friends.
I said you need to make some new friends. Okay.
Right.
If you had like one or two nice soulmate friends that resonate like you, you wouldn't be so sad to let him go.
Right. I think you're right. I have to start doing that again.
You can make friends at this age. I wish I had more free time or spare time because there's so many clients I love that I would like to see socially. I just don't have much time. Like, I will tell you, you can meet some really nice people. Like, when you're on a spiritual path, there's a lot of nice people out there and good people. But
sure.
It's being open to it and not hanging on to the old just because they're people we've known forever. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, we're like snakes. We have to shed our skin and we outgrow people.
And remember, soul relationships, you know, are not meant to last forever. If we've learned all we can from a person or they're showing another side of that, it's time to move on. And it doesn't mean the relationship wasn't good when we had it. I mean, I learned young in my life that I would have some friends that maybe I'd spent a whole summer with a lot, and they really helped me through that. And then due to life things, I never saw them again in 40 years or whatever. But they were significant at that point, even though it was only for 3 months or a year a friend. Like, some friends are just there for a little bit. They're not meant to be forever. Other ones might be there for 20 years or 30 years, but then there's a point where they've changed or they've evolved to be a lesser self as you're evolving to be a higher self. So it's not going to work.
Right.
And if people aren't mean or anything like that, you know, I don't care if people are evolved, not evolved. I don't care about any of that. If they're nice to me, you know what
sure.
I mean? So I don't care what their opinions are about anything, as long as they're nice people to me. But if they're not nice to me or they're mean to me, that's when I don't have any tolerance for it anymore. For me,
right, because they should have a sense of control, you know.
Right,
no matter how bad their day is going or what's going on in their lives, you don't turn on your friends.
No, never, never. Well, keep us informed. We want to try to get a few more callers in and
okay.
kind of call in again maybe in a few weeks or, you know,
thank
a month.
Thank you for your time.
You
I appreciate it.
Oh, you know, we love you, Eleanor. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Nicole, you know about friends. Sometimes they don't last forever and they're not supposed to. You know, life is like a poker game. When do you hold? When do you let go? When do you fold? You know, it's like sometimes we have to know when someone is just not meant to be in our life anymore. You know, And if anything else,
and
you know,
sometimes when you find that relationships are just harder to keep, it's probably because they've overstayed their welcome.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, Andrew's calling in, and we know we love Andrew. Andrew's one of my favorite people.
But
of course. So let's see what's on Andrew's mind today that he called in and graced our show.
You got it. Hello, Andrew. You're on the air.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Hi, Andrew. How's my favorite guy today?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. You know, keep me busy. Keep me occupied.
Good. Staying out of trouble.
Just following the game plan. That's all I can say.
Find a place where there isn't any trouble, you know?
Yep, that's what I do. Try to state that. Like I say, I follow the handbook, you know, that you lay out. So that's all I can do. I was just calling in. I know last time I called, I was just like, you know, in the middle of a breakup that we're still, you know, since I last spoke and on the radio. You know, I went through the, you know, you said got to give it like three months, you know, see if she reaches back out. She did. You saw the text messages we had. You know, she practically asked me out and, you know, radio silence. And I just wasn't going to chase her because, I don't know, I thought it was like pretty much, I don't know, I just didn't do anything. I've kind of let it just slide, as I indicated. So I guess I'll just get a status update on that and just seeing what messages you had from the other side. You know, because I know things will play out, you know, I guess, in the near future.
Okay, and are you thinking of contacting her?
I told you I've let it like slide. I feel like she's gonna reach out, but I don't know. I don't know what to start with. You know, if I'm gonna reach out and be like, do I just put her feet to the fire? I don't know. So. But.
Well, what I can see is she's still scared.
Yep.
You know, and we've discussed some of where her fears come from. You know, she lost her dad. People that lose a father, oftentimes, you know, afraid to love somebody could die on them. You know, she's just plain old scared. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she had a relationship that didn't really go where it should have gone. And she stayed too long. You know, sometimes people who stay too long in bad relationships get afraid to get in a relationship because they don't know where it's going to go. I mean, I keep getting the soulmate card on you and her and the potential that, you know, she knows that you could be like the forever guy, like the husband, and, you know, her son adores you and he needs a good father figure. Her father card came out in this, you know, her father is blessing it and wanting to work. She just doesn't trust her judgment and is scared. She's just totally scared. And, you know, he knows that her heart's been broken over the loss of her dad. And but he's trying to put thoughts in her head. She needs some courage. You know?
Yeah.
We've got to be a fool to fall in love. We can get hurt. But, you know, she has no idea that you're the prince that stays the prince. Okay, you know, she ran away in the height of love, like, which is the saddest part about it. You know, it's like,
I mean,
nothing was wrong, nothing went wrong, and that's always a sign of commitment phobia, when somebody runs when nothing's wrong.
Exactly. And I mean, I know I was firm, too, when she came back, because, like, I know I was like, well, like, I put it all on the line, I was like, it's all nothing, you know, just like you said, and, I mean, it didn't. You know, it was tough to do it, but once I did it, I was like, man, it was still the right thing because it just literally set the standard. Like, look, this is what it is. And try to come back.
Right, because didn't she want to sort of just see if you guys could be friends or something?
Yeah, she's like, oh, you know, I felt bad how it ended. You know, would it be cool if we could be friends or whatever? And I was like, look, it's all. I remember it was, you know, it's with Jen with you, it's all nothing. I don't need a friend. I have enough friends. You know, I signed up for soulmate love and nothing else or something or whatever we wrote. And
good.
Then she
and
came
that,
back and she's like, oh, I went 60. I was doing 30, 19 to 60 or whatever she was saying. So.
Right. And again, you know, she was trying to pull what commitment phobics do. They want to water it down from soulmate love to now you could be my friend. And if we do that, then we enable them because they haven't lost us and they still have us enough in their life. But, you know, soulmates,
I mean, that's
why
I was proud, because, I mean, I did the right thing. I mean, I'm proud that I did it, because, I mean, I established it from the first sentence. It was just like, put her out, you know. I'm sure she was probably taken back by that. I was like, all or nothing, that I would trade it all in. So.
Right. And, you know, what I'm seeing here is that she definitely misses you. The summer's coming, and it looks like, you know, I got the fool card next to her father card. They keep saying, she's got to be a fool to fall in love. I'm trying to tell her, you know, you got to take that chance. With the summer coming, you know, she was kind of anticipating doing some fun things with you. She knows you're a fun guy. So she, what I see here, she thinks about contacting you and then she gets scared.
Right.
And kind of, you know, steps back. But it looks to me like give it another few weeks, but at that point, contact her and ask her out again. You know,
I mean, I've been playing it cool.
You know, you can't, first of all, there's a point where you can't wait forever for someone. And if she knows you're going to wait forever, she'll just keep you waiting forever. If you ask her out, you know she's going to have to say yes or no or move it forward, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to put people a little bit under pressure. You know what I mean? That we're not going to be waiting forever here.
Yeah, no, I get that. No, I mean, in my head, I kind of think that too. You know, just,
and it's not that you won't be responsible for the ending of this. If she can't move it forward, then you'll be the one who will certainly be brought someone else, and which would be wonderful, you know, for you. Because you deserve love.
Without a doubt. I mean, I feel like I do the homework. I couldn't play this one any more perfect. And, you know, I mean, you identified that you thought that, like, Andrew was probably, like, an 80% match. So I'm like, I didn't think I had to go through another, you know, non-committing person. But, you know, I mean,
It's not you. This is an astronomical problem across the globe and the world. I mean, this is, like, a problem that people are not committing. And it's like, you know, so many people have brought soulmates and they run away from it now. It's like, where happened to people's courage? What happened to their, you know, willingness to step outside of their comfort zone? And there's just too many distractions, like just too much. You can watch TV, be on the computer, blah, blah, blah. You know, social media, everything. That maybe there's just too much for people to do and distract from. Mm. You know, I think of the days probably when I was growing up and teenagers, like they were like 13 television stations or something like that. And all summer it was just repeats. Nobody stayed home and watched the same shows all summer. They were out. They had to go do something, you know, and television went off at a certain hour. You couldn't watch it 24/7. It wasn't on demand. You know, that was like, so people almost were forced to go out and have a life. Now it's like people are just not having a life. I could see she's been thinking about you a lot. She was even thinking about reaching out Eastern, then she hesitated.
Yeah,
because
I know we're talking to her. Maybe she would soon, but yeah. Like I said, I mean, pretty calm.
I mean, it's
like,
not a good
know.
Sign to me when a commitment phobic doesn't even reach out for a holiday. It tells me how big the commitment phobia can be. Like if she, you know, wanted to be your friend or wanted to, you know, just saying a happy Easter wouldn't have killed her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know, she does think about you. Let's see what happens. You know, it looks to me like she's hesitating to contact you because she knows it has to go to the next level.
Yeah.
She's scared. You know,
I mean, I don't know what I could do. So.
Right.
That's what I do.
So, Nicole, do you have anything to add to this about a person who's a little bit afraid of commitment or how somebody should handle this? Because, you know, she's really pretty good about stuff like this, Nicole.
Well, no, you know what it is, Cindy? It's I think that Andrew did the right thing. You know, he did kind of back off. And he's doing everything right. You know, as far as making this person, you know, come around, you can't force somebody's hand, you know. But you can put it out there and give her another chance and see what she says, you know. And maybe a follow-up conversation needs to be had. You know, maybe part of that conversation needs to be something more along the lines of, you know, hey, listen, you know, you're not really happy with the way that it ended, you know, before either, you know, kind of reiterate that portion of it. But at the same time, just flat out ask her, what exactly are you so afraid of, you know, and try to ask her to just confront what that fear is, because clearly she's spooked. Clearly she's got issues. But we're only guessing what those issues are. We have it under a blanket called, you know, commitment phobe. All right. But just like if, you know, if you've got a blanket on your bed and it's all lumpy underneath it, you don't know what's under the blanket. You could have a dog under there. You could have a cat under there. You might just have a bunch of sheets under there. You don't know what's under there until you rip the blanket off. So you know what? We know that the blanket is there. We know that she's commitment phobic. Now let's find out what's underneath that and let's find out why. All right, because you might decide this is worth it or this is not really worth it to me, and you may not be too broken for the next person, but you're too broken for me right now.
Yeah, right. I mean, I thought if, like, I did get in front of her, the first day, you know, would be like, oh, I'm drilling at that. I'm going to be like, what, you know, you gave the other guy 11 fucking years. You can't give me 6 months, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like shit, what's the deal?
Wow.
Yeah, no, but, you know, I mean, and listen, and then unfortunately when people are in bad relationships, you know, like they do keep that baggage and they do hold the next person responsible for the sins of the previous. You know, it's human nature to do that, and it's human nature to be guarded. But, you know, what is it that is, like, here's the thing. It can't just be like, oh, yeah, I had a really shitty relationship. It's what about this relationship is reminding her of the last where she thinks she's making the same mistake again. Now, that could be something that you're doing that you don't even know you're doing, or it could be the way that she's interpreting something, and you might not even mean it that way. You know, there's a number of different things that it could be, you know. So we need to find out, like, what the trigger is, because otherwise we're just treating symptoms, you know. And just because you treat the symptom doesn't mean that you're getting rid of the disease. So, you know, we have to get to the root cause of it, and we have to know what it is. You know, it's great that she thinks that her judgment might be a little bit screwy. Okay, fine. But what did you like about the previous relationship, and when did it go bad? And is your judgment getting into a relationship with a person like that, or is your judgment not leaving a person like that? Find out what's at the root cause here, because she might be faulting herself with picking the wrong guy, when it had nothing to do with picking the wrong guy. It had to do with leaving the wrong guy. Because we all know that sometimes the guy starts out being the right guy. You know, so, and women blame their judgments. You know, like, oh, yeah, you know, well, he was a jerk. Okay, well, was he always a jerk? If he was always a jerk and you stayed, it's a very different story than if he became a jerk and you stayed. Because then it's not your judgment on picking him. It's your judgment for choosing him. And those are different things.
And, you know, I'm so glad that Ann just called in, because there's a lot of people in the same boat as you are. And, again, there's a point where, you know, being patient is good. But, you know, if people aren't going to step up to the plate, then, you know, it'll be time for you to move forward. And
I agree.
But, you know, right now it looks more that she's knowing that she's going to lose you. Like, her father's trying to put some pressure, you know, ghosting her mind, it's called, from the other side, putting thoughts in her head. You're going to lose this guy. He's a good catch. You leave him out in the open market. You know, what are you, stupid? So,
I tell him on a Friday night, I'm like, keep ghosting her, just keep throwing the hot thoughts in there, you know, just keep firing.
Oh, yeah. And he's certainly been doing that. And, you know, he brought you guys together. He wants his grandson to see a better version of love than what that kid has seen. So, you know, his father knew what he was doing when he brought you.
No, I felt there's a purpose. I mean, I felt there's, you know, I felt unique. But I mean, obviously, I've been there before. But, you know, she was definitely different than anything before, prior. So, I'm definitely happy with what was brought, if she could step up, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. And,
go ahead.
And I'm certainly looking forward to seeing you for your birthday reading. Because by then, I think a lot of things will play out.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I figured it's just in between check-in, and I appreciate Nicole's words of wisdom as well.
But we always like to hear from, and I'm so blessed because he sends me emails sometimes, let me know how he's doing. He sends me the birthday wishes, everything good, you know. So, you know, and again, my mission is to make sure that you get the soulmate love that you deserve. And
that's why I feel like you're in my life. So
get these people to step up to the plate, you know. Step up to the plate. And
you're out to God's ears.
Well, thanks for calling in. We're gonna try to get one more caller tonight before the show is over. And thank you. Now this time you don't have to listen, you know, on air, and you could just listen now. And since my Blog Talk Radio has disappeared off of my website, which it ghosted me. Blog Talk Radio is ghosted right off my website. So I have to get it back on there. So it's always something in life lately. That's what I was telling Nicole before here. It seems like you take care of one problem and there is another one electronically.
Yep, life's a carnival ride. Just ride it.
For sure. Well, thanks for calling in, Andrew, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks again. Appreciate your time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Andrew.
Bye, Nicole.
Okay, now, I don't know if you screened one more, but there is one more person.
I actually did not, because we were running so long with Eleanor, and
okay,
I kind of forecasted that we were going to be.
We're going to pick up the 4286 number.
You got it. Oh, come on, Blog Talk. Hello, 4286. You are on the air.
Hi, Nicole. It's Teresa. How are you?
Hello,
Teresa. Hi. How are you feeling?
Hi, Cindy. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, my darling. I was thinking of you today. That is so weird. You, like, popped into my head, like, three times today. And I'm, like, shocked. I go, oh, like, I shouldn't be shocked. I should know, you know, we're soulfully connected. I shouldn't be surprised if I know you're good. But I know you had some health issues. How are they going?
Well, I'm healing.
Good.
I'm healing. I got the autopsy back on my mother. So now all of us are going for echocardiograms. She obviously had something that is, I guess, what you can consider passable, you know, hereditary. So, you know, so
but
myself.
How old
and the
was she when she died?
84.
Okay, so she did pretty good. I mean, that life expectancy for that generation.
Yeah, she never went to a doctor, so
she
did too.
Yeah, the life expectancy for that generation when they were born was like 72 or something. So she did pretty good. And, you know, but your rest of your health issues are getting better?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's taking a long time, and I'm not patient. You know that.
No.
So it's not one of my – something very strange happened to me the other day. And I have to share it with you.
Okay, good.
You know how you get a regular phone call on your cell phone and you would get the ringtones and the regular calling? Well, I got a phone call, and it was like an internet call, I would say. It wasn't a regular phone call from my cell phone.
Okay.
And it wasn't from a carrier that I knew or anything like that. What came up was, and it was a caller ID, but it wasn't a phone number. It just said, Dad.
Wow. Now.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And then I came home to find my mother's light on and her ceiling fan going in the room where she is.
Wow.
So I had a very, very uncomfortable evening, I have to say. I'm feeling a lot better about it now, but it was just, when I got the call from my dad, I felt good about it because I felt maybe he was telling me everything was going to be fine because I was going through a business audit. And, you know, I thought that was his way of saying everything was going to be fine. And then I came home and that was happening. I was uncomfortable by the light and the ceiling fan.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wasn't uncomfortable from the phone. I was uncomfortable from that, though. So, but other than
right.
that, life is just fabulous.
It's interesting how they're trying to send you messages again. Your dad did the dad part, which was comforting. Your mom turned on the lights and the fan. And, you know, if you're not comfortable with that, you have to pretty much tell her don't do it anymore.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't comfortable. I don't know this because maybe the strange situation, but I said to myself, you know, maybe like you were saying, somebody's trying, they're trying to tell me something. And, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes I'm just a little slow on the uptake.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what they're trying to tell me, but it's something good. That's a little.
For the most part, they're always trying to tell you to relax. Okay. That's for sure. Okay. To relax a little bit and it'll turn out okay. And, you know, your dad wanted you to know he's around, which is nice to know. Isn't it nice to know he's around still?
Yeah. Well, I hope so because I talk to him a lot.
Wow. And, you know, of course, what I'm seeing here is that your dad is a little bit upset that, you know, you've been through so much and he's not here to help. You know, your dad's a really nice man on the other side. Was he like that on Earth?
Yes.
I mean,
you know, it's amazing. I found when going through some stuff, which things I never knew, awards he was given for his charitable work for the church and for the veterans, the legions, different things that he did. You know, like rebuild. I mean, things like he built the church. He built different. You know, he gave his time to do things for people and help people. And I really didn't know to the extent that he actually did things. It just amazes me that, you know. But I kind of I guess it shouldn't amaze me. I just, you know, I saw these awards, though, and, you know, from the diocese and all this other stuff, you know, and it just, I was like, oh, I never knew that, you know.
Right, and that's what, he's coming across being a really nice man here for you. And, you know, you've had a lot on your plate in the last year, okay? Really, and your stress level is probably, should be off the charts, and you're doing amazing, by the way. That you know, between your mom's death and her being a pain in the neck while she was here, and your health issues and work issues that you went through, and you know, it's just been a lot for you. So your dad is just wanting, you know, he's around, and
well, I hope
you
he's bringing a man my way soon.
Oh yeah. Now, did you cut out the last one?
Did I do what?
Cut out the last guy, the one that you asserted he was in your life for a while.
He hasn't been around for years.
Okay, good.
I haven't had a man in my life in a very long time.
Okay, good. So it is time for a good man, and that your dad can bring you. And, you know, you needed to settle some things down a little bit in your life, but your dad is promising to bring you a soulmate. When is your birthday, the month and the day?
2/9.
Okay. So it's supposed to be in your birthday year, so you're already in your birthday year here pretty good from 2/9. So, you know, keep your eyes open. The summer's a good time to meet people if you get out there a little bit. You know, do you do anything to find anybody?
Well, at this time, yeah, I do. I actually do try and go out a little bit here and there and, you know, and to meet people. But, you know, I mean, there's really not much until I get my health things under control. I feel funny going by myself. I really feel odd going out alone.
Right.
So when I don't have somebody that I could drag with me, I feel very hard-pressed to say, okay, I'm going to go out, and then what do? Stand there and look like, you know, I'm looking to get picked up? I feel very funny.
Well, how about if you went to not so much to go where you're going to meet a guy, but where you can meet some new friends and to then meet someone?
I do go out to eat. You know, that's basically what I do. I'll go out and grab a bite or have a cocktail and, you know, and grab a bite. I'll sit at the bar because, you know, to be social, not sitting at a table alone, you know. And I talk to people, but I just, you know, it's just difficult to meet people. It's very hard. I mean, there really isn't too many things to do anymore or places to go. And until, I guess the summertime will be easier because music will be out. So
yeah,
go
to places where they're playing music and things like that. Because
yeah, I think so. That's basically what I do. Like this summer, I'll go to the beaches, you know, when they have music in the evening.
Right.
You know.
And I do see you meeting somebody, you know, and, you know, your dad knows what you need and what you want, and he's very excited to bring you love.
Love that.
You know, I'm not seeing anything bad in your cards, and I do see your health getting better, okay? You know, you're amazing. You sound wonderful. You really do sound great.
Thank you.
You know, you've been through a lot, okay? That much, you've been through a lot in this last year. You know, really, really a lot. And your health looks better, and it is time for you to, you know, get out there and meet somebody.
I can't wait. I'm telling
you.
I see that my ex has passed my house a few more times, which is a little weird. He's getting married, supposedly. I don't know why he's passing the house.
Well, you're a good catch, and, you know, he's probably still thinking about you and wants to see if anybody's at your house. But, you know, too bad for him, because you're going to be brought to someone else.
Well, yeah, I have no desire to be bothered with him, so yes, that's a good thing. I just thought it was odd. I'm saying to myself, you're engaged to be married to someone. Why are you still passing my house?
Well, oh well.
Jitters.
Oh well. Well, we're just about at the end of our show. We want to say goodbye before Blog Talk knocks us off. And thank you so much for calling in, everybody, and have a great week. And we'll all see you next week. Enjoy spring and the warm weather. And hello to Jean Steele, who's listening. We always love Jean. Okay. Our blanket's still keeping me cozy and warm that she made for me.
Oh, my God, I love that blanket.
Me too. We love it. Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you, Nicole. Bye.
Thank you, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Bye.